Our reading from the scriptures this morning comes from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. He ended the second chapter, interestingly, admonishing the minister Timothy to be gentle, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Then continuing to describe that work of the devil, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that is unrestrained, fierce, untamed, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, the idea of that Greek word is the reckless, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came upon me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. In other words, fully equipped, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May God now bless this reading of his word. The text that God gives to us at the request of Caleb and Sandra is the 15th verse, 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The context is important, because the context describes the tremendous wickedness of that day, and that he says will characterize the last days, a wickedness that every elect child of God striving to be godly will have to face. In order to face that wickedness, in order to be ready to face that and deal with it, still maintaining spiritual godliness, we have to know God. It's the knowledge that we have of God and His relationship to us that enables us to deal with that kind of wickedness that are going to characterize us and our children in the last days. And we must not only know that we have come to that knowledge, but we must, the previous verse says, continue in it. Thou continue in the things which thou hast learned. The text makes a statement of fact, but in addition to giving this statement that thou, Timothy, hast learned the Holy Scriptures, hast known them, it tells every elder, every minister, and every parent the heart of their calling. Timothy knew it because his mother and his grandmother taught him. He speaks of them by implication in verse 14. He identifies them in chapter 1, verse 5. Thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice have had faith. The same faith, Paul says, that I see abiding in you. But that came through, not the parents, but through the Scriptures. The Scriptures are that which make them wise unto salvation. So the instruction in the Scriptures, the teaching of the Scriptures, that's the heart of the calling of every parent. Our text emphasizes that the Scriptures are known from infancy. And so that's what we take as our theme. We want to first of all look at what's meant by the Holy Scriptures. I think that the Scriptures here are so clear that every one of you already know. Because the word Scripture itself means writings. To script. And it's the word that's used throughout the New Testament to refer to the Old Testament. Sometimes they call them the law and the prophets, but sometimes they called them the writings, the Scriptures. Jesus referred to them that way in John 5 when he said, "Search the Scriptures." They all knew what was meant. It was the Old Testament writings. Paul is inspired to identify and describe those writings as holy. Holy. And that's why on the front of every Bible, it's not just going to say Bible or the Bible, but it's going to say Holy Bible. Holy book. Bible means book. Biblos. Holy is simply, we're going to get this more tonight, so we're going to be very brief now. Holy simply means something that is separated from common use, and it's devoted to God, so it's given special use. It's not common and ordinary. It's holy. It's separated. It's devoted and dedicated to the service of God. To call the writings holy, we can quickly identify three reasons why the Scriptures call the writings themselves holy. One, they come from the Holy God. God is identified by the seraphim in Isaiah 6 as thrice holy. And it's He who is the only author of these writings of the Old Testament. They acknowledge that. Sure, they all identify Jeremiah, Isaiah, Moses, but at the same time, they look at those Old Testament writings and say, they're holy because God is the source. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we're told that those prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. It wasn't just men having the desire to write, or that they were even given thoughts that God gave to them, and then they had to write those thoughts and put them into words. They didn't come by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Inspired, verse 16 tells us. They were inspired, given by the breath, the holy breath of God. So their source is a holy God. The product of a holy God is going to be a holy book, holy writings. Second, they're holy because, now very closely related by implication, they are without error. They're infallible. They're the only source of correct knowledge of God and of everything that he reveals. He doesn't write about everything, but what he writes about is infallible, trustworthy. Third, they are holy because they are not only the means to salvation, as the rest of this verse indicates and clearly states, but they're also the way that one can be godly, holy. They're going to show us the way of godliness and holiness. And they're going to show us that way over against this fierce wickedness in the world around us, and especially that will characterize the last days. Holy scriptures, holy writings. Yes, we identified God as the author and stated that he is the one who gives this revelation of himself. But our text, especially at the end, speaks of it making us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now he's, just catch that a minute. He's writing about the Old Testament scriptures, the Old Testament writings. That's what he's obviously referring to. But while he refers to them, he says, they make you wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. When did Christ Jesus come? Well, he's written about in the New Testament. But Paul's here writing to Timothy about the Old. And shows to us, beyond any shadow of doubt, that Christ was as real in the Old as in the New. He was there. He was there at creation. John 1, Colossians 3, Colossians 1 tell us, he was there in creation. He was the Word. For God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. By the Word of the Lord. His mouth. Psalm 33. And we learned then that the central message of the whole of the scriptures was Christ. Now Christ is Greek, Messiah is the Hebrew, that the Messiah, the anointed one of God, was to come. The anointed one of God was to come who would crush, Genesis 3:15, the head of the serpent, and thus bring life and salvation to the fallen mankind. He would be the means to save. So, the central message of those holy writings is that it was God's good pleasure to save unto himself a people in Christ Jesus. And that thought, that message about Jesus Christ runs throughout the whole Old and New Testament scriptures. Now, this salvation is identified here in our text in New Testament language because it's not just Christ, but it's Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's a New Testament name identifying him and his person. Christ is his title. The Savior, salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Referring back to those words of Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 39, he said, "Search the Scriptures." Then he gave the reason. "For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Now there too, Old Testament, search the Scriptures, Old Testament, they testify of me. Search them. They are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the emphasis of the text is not about those holy writings as much as it is about this, knowing them. Now, Paul is saying this to his spiritual son, Timothy. He picked him up on the first part of his second missionary journey to go along with him and Silas and Dr. Luke. And it's interesting that when he references the afflictions and persecutions that came upon him at Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe are the persecutions that he experienced on the first missionary journey where Timothy wasn't there. "But you've known of them," he relates to Timothy. But then what is so amazing is this. He says to Timothy that you've known these holy writings from the time you were a child. Now, if you listened carefully, you would have caught that the theme that I gave to this sermon is Scriptures known from infancy, not from childhood. And that's what's so fascinating about this passage of Scripture. The Greek word that is translated child refers to the unborn and to the newborn. Unborn, newborn. Not toddlers, not teenagers, but from infancy. You've known the Holy Scriptures. What's God mean by that? Even the baptism form says you will bring them up when they come to the years of discretion. That was your vow. Okay, when they begin to be able to discern right and wrong, right from wrong. But infant? Newborn? Unborn? By implication, we know this, that Eunice, Timothy's mother, must have taught him the ABCs from the Scriptures. She didn't use some secular Greek writings about Dick and Jane to teach the beginnings of knowledge, but she used the Scriptures, the holy writings, They were the instrument that she used. Now, how does that work? There's where we wonder. Until we remember that the ability to have this knowledge, now by implication, the knowledge isn't just an intellectual apprehension. I've got some data, I can spit it back out at you like data of history. The war between the states was from this date to that. The Revolutionary War, no. It's not just intellectual data. To know, and the Greek word makes a distinction. There's a word for intellect, and there's a word for I know whom I have believed. And this word is of that sort, that kind. And our ability to believe that even an infant like Evan is given to know from the Holy Scriptures is only because of what the Scriptures tell us about the Holy Spirit. We look and say, this child can't get it. He's limited. We look at ourselves and we say, we're limited in our ability to communicate with an infant that's tiny and that small. And we're correct. But he is unlimited in his ability to work knowledge in an infant. Amazing. That's grace too. Grace isn't just saving a wretched gross sinner. Grace is the work of God to be able to put in an infant the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures that is able to make him wise unto salvation. And here's where we have to stand back and take the same attitude that we would about creation. God spoke and it was? How does that work? Science doesn't show that to us. Science says it took a long time. And we say, no, God is able. He can speak and there it is. Okay, the faith that enables one to say he can create out of nothing just by speaking is that which enables us to say the tiny infant, even in wombs, are able to know because of the irresistible, almighty power of God. Sometimes I've heard parents, maybe especially grandparents, look at little children and they see them respond to them when they sing or talk. Ah, yes, oh, I know. No, you may think that. Can't deny it. But this is a better way to know, because God says he is able to give that knowledge to an infant. Now, when we grow up and we come to the age of discernment and greater intellectual understanding and apprehension, then what we gain from that is a message that all of us can understand. God is God. God is sovereign. God is Lord. He created all. He establishes the standard according to which every man must live. He determines what's right. He determines what's wrong as the Creator. And that which is right is this: love me. You don't love me, you're violating my standard. The Scriptures reveal to us that every child of Adam conceived really deserves hell, sin, and death, is in bondage to sin, cannot escape that bondage except through the power of that irresistible Spirit who alone can regenerate and does and gives knowledge.
to an infant.
And the scriptures reveal that God is the only ground, the only ability to rescue us from sin and death and hell. And not just, and this is saved, who is able to make us wise unto salvation. Salvation is deliverance from the greatest evil, sin, hell, the grave, and give the gift, the greatest good, the ability truly to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That salvation from, to, is by Christ Jesus. It's experienced by the faith that God gives to us to take a hold of that knowledge and to say, it's true. I've said this before. To look at a little child or to look at any one of you and to ask you the question, do you believe that Jesus was a very real man, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, ministered, preached, killed? Do you believe he was real? Have you ever seen him? Do you believe God is real? Have you ever seen him? Now, one step more. Do you believe that Jesus was God? Was, is God? That's what faith, the gift of faith, enables us to take and say, it's true. Whom having not seen, we not only believe, but we love him. Gift of faith, to hold for truth that which God has revealed in his holy writings. It must be true. He said it. The Bible tells me so. An implication that we want to cover is a reformational truth that the scriptures, in order to give that knowledge, are not only worked by the Holy Spirit, but because we have the Holy Spirit, it enables us to say those writings are perspicuous. It's a good word. We ought to know that word. Perspicuous. They are clear. They are able to be understood. They are that which we can grasp. Maybe not every little detail, but the whole theme, the general truth, we are able to understand that. Ask the little children, do you believe that Jesus? They probably can't even read yet. But they've been taught the scriptures. And then they sing. The Bible tells me so. That's exactly the way our children have to be taught about the authority, the infallibility of the holy writings. The Church of Rome maintained and maintains that the Bible is difficult to understand. Higher critics will do the same. The Reformers, and as a Reformed Church, we say no. The address and the message that God gives in his word is clear. It's crystal clear. If one is having difficulty understanding it, then it can't blame the scriptures. Be very careful. I don't get it. In one place in the book of Acts, Paul says that those who were with him didn't hear anything. In another place in Acts, as he relates that history, He says those that were with him did hear. I don't get it. Wait a minute. These are holy writings. They're writings because they come from the holy God. I must be careful that I don't take my little ladder of straw and climb up on it and say, I am holy enough to know what that doesn't make sense. No. No, there's an understanding of there. There's a correct way to take that. But there might be other parts that we're going to say, I don't get it. Then we have to do this and be aware of 2 Peter 3, verse 16. Peter is making a reference to the writings of Paul, and this is very interesting. It's not only the Old Testament writings that are identified in our text as holy, but the same authority is given by the inspired Peter to the writings of Paul in the New Testament, here in 2 Peter 3, verse 16. In 15, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned, they wrestle with it, as they do also the other unto their own destruction. What they that are unstable and unlearned do with Paul's epistles is exactly what they do with the other writings. The other holy writings. Takes Paul's epistles, makes them equal. But also, secondly, shows to us that yes, there are some that we're going to say are unstable and unlearned, and they wrestle with the scriptures to their own destruction. And there's a light that goes on. And that light says, and you have all knowledge? You've been given to know by faith that what God said is true. You've been given the ability to trust that which he said is true, not only for others, but for yourselves as well. But that also says, I'm far from being able to know all things. I know this too. Knowledge puffeth up. And if any man thinketh he knoweth all things, or knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know it. So our ability is not what it will be when we get in glory. So we take the scriptures, the holy scriptures, and we deal with them carefully. And when there's things there that we don't understand, we don't say, throw it away, it has to be wrong. It's confusing. No, we take the central message, and that's a message that's crystal clear. And we can trust it. And we do trust it. And we say, I'll wait. He'll explain it one day. And he'll tell me. Now there's all kinds of parts where they might initially be confusing that good explanations have been given. And we can understand that. Okay, our eyes are opened a bit to some of those things that are more difficult. But we'd be very careful that we don't wrestle with the scriptures to our own destruction. We believe with a God-given faith, and that given faith is what the Spirit works in us. And so every believer, and that doesn't just refer to those who are at that moment believing, walking by faith, thinking by faith. It's every believer, even an infant Timothy, an infant Evan, every believer, and to be a believer means they've been given faith, a Blake, young or old, is able to understand what the Scriptures teach concerning salvation. And it's not the parents. That's why Paul doesn't do it here. Yes, he makes reference in verse 14, you know from whom you've learned them. But he says, it's not Eunice, and it's not Lois, and it's not me that gives to you this knowledge. You've known the Scriptures. It's the Bible. That's the truth. That's the only source of truth. So as parents, we have to work hard in our presentation of answers to say, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach? Not, there may be moments and special moments when we say, because I said so, to a rebellious child or teenager. But most of the time we have to say, because the Bible says so. This is why. This is how we are to live. This is what we are to believe. The incentive that God gives to us is that as we live and walk in the midst of a sinful world that's getting increasingly more sinful, Galatians 1:4, this present evil world, we're able to stand. Stand against the wiles of the devil as they use all of that wickedness to allure, to draw, to tempt, to confuse, to separate us from Christ and the knowledge of forgiveness in Him. But we're able to stand because they make us wise. Wisdom doesn't have anything to do with IQ. Wisdom can be in somebody who only got 5 grades of education, but there's a wisdom there. Wisdom isn't in what you've accumulated in knowledge, although often knowledge helps with wisdom. But remember that the heart of wisdom, according to the book of Proverbs, is that knowledge and awe of Jehovah. The essence of wisdom, the essence of true knowledge, is the fear of Jehovah. The acknowledgement of His work, of who He is, of His presence, of the obligations that I owe to Him. He gives us that wisdom. Now, there's a second thought, and that's the implication of verse 14. You've come to know it since you were an infant. But you can't just say, well, I got baptism. Got her in. I got it made. You have to continue. Continue thou in the knowledge. We have minds that forget. And you don't need dementia. We have minds that confuse. We have minds that get one idea and we can't balance it off with the other side. We have a hard time keeping the right way, the balance. So we have to continue in the knowledge. Where are we going to get that best revelation of God? In the Scriptures. In the Scriptures. And the implication of that is this. You must find a church that does the absolute best job of presenting the Holy Scriptures. They're going to give you that in the preaching. They're going to give that to you in the way in which they administer the sacraments. They're going to do that in the way in which they exercise Christian discipline. But it's going to be where the Bible is presented as the only source of truth. That doesn't mean that there's no place for the creeds, because The strength of the creeds is that they stand on and are often quotations from the Scriptures. But it's the Scriptures. They must be there. Now, with that, secondly, this. It's not just the preaching of the Scriptures, but it's when we can gather in Bible studies. Now, we've got the custom of really slowing down our Bible studies in the summer. And the verse doesn't say that we have to do it every day or every month or every other week. But the pressure is more on us than as individuals and as families that we continue. Continue. For me, the beauty of being able to lead a variety of Bible studies is the benefits are so great. Growing in knowledge of every other part of the Bible. Getting reminded of things that I taught one time and totally forgot. To grow, to continue in the knowledge of that word and the salvation that it presents in Christ. But the other incentive is this. If they have that power, then that's what you want your little children to know. And if they are able, by the miracle of God's grace, to get it at Evan's age already, then you have to keep presenting it, keep teaching, so that then the promise of God is going to be fulfilled. That's the way he said it in Genesis 18, verse 19 about Abraham. I know that he will command his children to walk in the way of Jehovah. And that's what we have to do. Then God says, that's the way that I am going to fulfill the promises that I made to him. Your assurance of the promises that God makes concerning your three children is going to be in the way of your continuing, setting before them, not what you think, not what grandparents think, but what the Bible says. And then God has us, in his word, learn to sing. Oh, how love I thy law. Oh, how love I thy holy word. It is my meditation all the day. Amen. Take thy word, Father. Give it to us. We thank thee for the opening of it. And though it was done through the weakness of a human instrument, yet thy Spirit has given it a power to prick, to encourage, to console, to build us up. We thank thee for thy word. For Jesus' sake, amen.